Do you want a visual experience to the show? Go check out the Down to the Wire YouTube channel to enjoy full episodes of Down to the Wire. That is the YouTube channel Down to the Wire to watch and listen to full episode content. Hello all, Jacob Morgans here from the podcast Down to the Wire. Go visit the social media page for this podcast on Instagram to get content from latest episodes, news around the sports world, and my thoughts on recent sports events. Just type in official Down to the Wire, all in one word, into the search bar to visit the page. That's official Down to the Wire, all in one word, to visit the page.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Season 3, Episode 4 of the Down the Wire podcast. I'm your host, Jacob Morgans, with my good friend here, our guest speaker, back on the show. He's currently an undergrad at ASU, Arizona State, and hopefully is in a sports broadcasting studio or working at some position in that field at some point in his future, Travis Pollock. Thanks for joining the show, my man.
Yes, sir. That's the dream. Thanks for having me on, Jacob. I'm excited to talk some playoff football, especially since both our teams are in the dance this year.
Yes, for sure. Let me ask you about that first. The NFL season is now in its third year with an expanded playoff bracket to 14 teams. As you know, both of our teams, the Seahawks and the Dolphins, snuck in as the 7 seeds in our respective conferences. I honestly think with the playoff matches they're up against, they will be overwhelmed, should be the right word. But there's different ways to get in the postseason. I just think as the 2 versus the 7 seeds, right now, historically, the 7 seeds are 0-4, but I mean, and it's been non-competitive in all of those games over the last 2 years. So what do you think about these expanded playoffs up to 14 teams?
Yeah, look, I think that there's a clear top 2 teams in each conference, and I think that those 2 teams are well-deserving of a first-round bye in their own right. And while I think that, yes, Kansas City and Philly deserve to have a first-round bye and home field advantage, I think there's no reason why Buffalo and San Francisco should have to play in this first round as well when, like you mentioned, they're playing pretty obviously inferior opponents in Miami and Seattle. So as much as I love seeing the Dolphins and the Seahawks in the playoffs this year, should they be? I'm not so sure. Yeah.
There have been reports, I don't know if it's pretty laid back or lots of people are talking about it, but of the NFL possibly adding 2 more playoff teams. So it would be like an NBA format where you have 8 teams from each conference and there would be no bye. I was just wondering what you thought about that. I don't even like you said, I kind of agree with you. I don't even like the 14 team. So imagine it's a 16 team.
There's no reason to expand. I mean, you look at the teams that would have gotten in, should there have been an extra playoff team this year, would have been New England and Detroit. Should New England and Detroit be playoff teams? Probably not. I think
it would have been
Pittsburgh. What was that?
I think it would have been Pittsburgh that would have gotten in.
Yeah, you're right. Because they won. Yeah, I mean, same point applies, though. I mean, should Pittsburgh be in? Probably not. Should Detroit be in as much as we all love them? Probably not. So why make these guys play an extra game that they shouldn't have to after a 17-game season? I don't see any need for it.
The NFL has always been known as kind of a player-friendly league. The DeMar Hamlin incident about a week and a half ago, do you think the league will consider reevaluating the 17-game season and go back to maybe a 16-game season or eliminating games like on Thursday night? And I honestly like Thursday night, but if the NFL, I don't know, there have been talks about around the nation of the NFL should consider removing Thursday night games or removing that extra game that they made a couple of years ago to really respect the health of these players, and all that. What do you make of all that?
Do I think they will? No, probably not. But do I think they should? I think it's definitely something to consider. We know the NFL is a business. It's all about making money. They're gonna play as many primetime games as possible with all their TV sponsorships on short weeks. They're gonna get an additional week of TV deals. That's just the way they roll, right? It is a business. But if we are talking about player safety, it is clear that we go all the way back to Tua in week 4 playing on a short week in Cincy. And now you look at DeMar Hamlin too, late in the season after a grueling stretch of games going into Cincy as well. Should they be playing this long a season? Probably not. Should they be playing on short weeks? Probably not. But the NFL isn't going to change anything.
Yeah. So if it's all right with you, are you ready to dive into some playoff predictions?
Let's do it. I'm excited.
I'll go ahead and share my screen right now. Let's see. All right. So first game, Super Wild Card Weekend, is my Seattle Seahawks playing the San Francisco 49ers. San Francisco had a sweep of Seattle this season, winning in week 2 by 20, and then winning in week 15 late in the season by 8. But that game wasn't really competitive. There was a late touchdown at the end, so the score is kind of deceitful in that way. Like I said earlier, historically, over the last 2 years since they expanded the playoffs, the 7 seeds are 0-4. That's just the reality of it. I guess the only thing Seattle has working for them is the fact that rookie quarterbacks making their first start in the NFL playoffs are 9-18, but I really don't see San Francisco losing this game, to be honest. I really see them controlling the line of scrimmage with their offensive line and their front seven. I just picked the score 23-10 only because I don't think Seattle will get. I think Seattle is one of those organizations that has too much pride to get like absolutely humiliated on a big stage like this, but it's going to be a double digit loss, I think. I'd say 23-10, San Francisco moves on. I don't know if you probably have the same kind of results there.
Yeah. Look, as much as we love for teams to get a win on Super Wild Card Weekend, I don't see it happening. I think that 0-4 winless record's gonna go to 0-6. Seattle had a phenomenal season, but I think San Francisco, little foreshadowing here. I have them going a long way this year. I do think that their defensive front is something that none of these other playoff teams have. And I think we'll see that as early as in Wild Card Weekend, how much that affects their opponents.
No, I do too. I would agree with you. I have San Francisco actually, making a good run this season, throughout the postseason. This game I feel like is very fascinating. The second game, on that same Saturday, the Chargers and the Jags. Obviously, we don't know the. It sounds like the status for Mike Williams is good, even though that seems a little bit scary considering you start all your starters. Brandon Staley starts all his starters in a meaningless game. And guys like Kenneth Murray with a stinger injury, Mike Williams, I think, with a back. You guys have all these key pieces getting dinged up. My decision on who to win this game, I feel like, is based on the availability of Mike Williams. I just think he's that much of a game changer, in terms of the production of this Chargers offense. But like I said, I feel like this game's a coin flip. Do you? I really don't know who to take here.
Yeah, I think this is just about as much of a coin flip as you get in this first round of playoffs. I also picked the Chargers to win in Jacksonville. I know Jacksonville handed it to them earlier in the year, but I think now As you mentioned, Mike Williams, for me, it's more on the defensive side of the ball. If you get Joey Bosa back, if you get Derwin James is healthier than he has been, if you do it, have Kenneth Murray playing this one. And Khalil Mack is played off the charts this year for LA. So I do think that the defense and obviously the kid Justin Herbert will lift the Chargers in this one. But I will say, though, if you're Brandon Staley and you can't win a playoff game this year, I think the Chargers are probably considering moving on from you because you've had too much time and too many pieces to not move past the first round.
I agree. I thought the pressure was on him to – I mean, they were at a point where they were 6-6 and you were wondering, are they going to make the playoffs? And if they didn't, then I think you would have had some serious conversation. You would probably move off Brandon Staley, yeah, because you can't go 2 years with Justin Herbert not making the playoffs. There was another stat.
It's too good. Yeah, too good.
Say that again?
Yeah, Justin Herbert's too good. He's too good to not be winning playoff games. So it's got
to
be coaching.
I also want to mention the stat. The Jags, in their win last week, had negative one total yards in the fourth quarter on 9 plays against the Titans. I like that also kind of maybe hinted towards my decision to pick the Chargers this week, only because they really struggled against a really injury-ravaged Tennessee team. I mean, obviously, it felt like a playoff game for all those young guys, especially Trevor Lawrence, so we'll see how he performs on this stage. But like I said, that's the game's such a coin flip. I'm only picking the Chargers, probably mainly because of Justin Herbert. I'm going to be totally honest with you. You already kind of foreshadowed this third game.
Let's just skip this one. Just skip this one. We don't need to talk about this.
Okay, 10-point loss. Does that sound accurate?
No. Yeah, I'm kidding. We can talk about it a little bit. Look, it's no surprise. If Tua isn't playing in this game, Miami's losing by a lot. If Tua's playing in this game, Miami's still probably losing by a lot. So we can move on. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. This is the second game of the Sunday. I call an upset here. Giants and Vikings. Worst point differential for a 10-plus win team in NFL history, that was Minnesota. So what that tells you is they're winning close, which can be good, but you're not blowing teams out. And when you lose, you get blown out. That was kind of how Minnesota was this year. And you got to remember that Christmas Eve game, it took a 61-yard field goal from Greg Joseph to win that game. Daniel Jones played a phenomenal game, throwing 320 yards, but that's also the deal with the Vikings is they have a bottom third defense in this league in total yards and pass defense. So Brian Daboll, you probably give him coach of the year, to be honest, with the roster that he was given. And Daniel Jones is your quarterback, and you take this team to the postseason. I do also have this stat, and this is very interesting when I'm trying to predict who wins and whatnot. The last 5 NFC 6 seed teams have won their wild card matchups. So that's going back all the way to 2017. You had the Falcons, then you had the Eagles, then you had the Vikings, then you had the Rams, and then last year you had San Francisco beating Dallas. Considering Minnesota and their season this year, I don't know. I'm going to take the Giants on this one. It's only a 3-point spread too, so I wonder what your thoughts are on this.
I like that pick, Jacob. I do. It's a sneaky team. I think the Giants are a playoff team that I wouldn't want my team to be playing. I do have Minnesota on top. I think that's another team that is too good and has too many weapons to be losing in the first round of the playoffs. And I do. I know that playing in that many one-score games can signal a lot of miscues throughout the game. I like that they are able to finish. I really think this one comes down to whatever team beats themselves more, whichever team makes more mistakes. And I think, you know, you see that indicated in the 3-point spread here.
Yeah, I have the Giants with the upset here by 1 point, 28-27. I mean, yeah, that will, besides watching that Seattle game, that will probably be the game that I've been circling this weekend. Giants Vikings, that should be a really good one. Going off to the fifth game of the six, Cincinnati versus Baltimore. I mean, Lamar Jackson hasn't played in 6 weeks. Hasn't even practiced in 6 weeks. They beat Cincinnati way earlier in the year, like week 5, on Sunday night, but Cincinnati really controlled and dominated them last week, and now here they are playing back to back. I don't see a scenario where Cincinnati loses unless they really beat up themselves and turn the ball over a lot, but I really don't. But with the way they're playing, they're on an 8-game win streak. I could make the case they could go toe-to-toe with Buffalo and possibly advance back to the conference championship game. I really don't see a scenario where they lose this game, do you?
I don't either. I think whether it's Anthony Brown or Huntley or Lamar, I don't think it matters. I think the Ravens don't have enough weapons on offense, no matter who the quarterback is. And I think that how can you beat Burrow and Jamar Chase if you can't keep up offensively? So yeah, I think Cincy handles this one pretty easily.
I don't know if you and I will agree on this one.
You didn't, Jacob, and I'm mad at you about it. Really? You picked Dallas. Really? I'm mad at you about it.
Well, considering how Dallas' season has gone, where they lose a game and then they win a few after, then they go on a little win streak after, and I feel with competent quarterbacks, you are able to bounce back, especially after a dud performance like that. On the last game of the year, Dallas, Dak is one of those. He's not an A. He's a good, solid B, competent quarterback that has the ability to bounce back from a performance like this. I feel like Dallas, there are weeks where they can't run the ball, but I feel like they will bounce back and run the ball, setting up this complimentary Dak Prescott piece. That's what I feel like Dallas is they – basically have a formula for a way of winning. Basically, if you limit Dak Prescott under 35 throws, the Cowboys win. That's just statistically how it is. Top scoring offense, top 10 scoring offense and total offense, top 10 scoring defense and total defense. Here's the thing. The Bucs do not have a run game at all. And in the playoffs, I feel like that is very, very vital to your success, especially once you're playing better quarterbacks down the stretch. It keeps them off the field. It shortens the game. And a 45-year-old quarterback throwing 40-plus times, I don't see a lot of success out of that. But hey, Tom Brady is 7-0, never lost to the Cowboys, so that's got to count for something. I have it close here in Tampa. You, considering what I just said, but actually considering before I even said anything, you had a disagreement there.
Tampa Bay, baby. Come on now. I'm not betting against Tom Brady in the playoffs, man.
Hey, I did mention 7-0. That's
– nah. Yeah, I guess they should have some actual reason to why I picked Tampa Bay. I just think Dallas is a team that's prone to turn the ball over, and Tampa's a team that's good at capitalizing on mistakes. And I know it hasn't been the best year for Tampa, but Tampa Bay.
I feel like I had Dallas winning, but I feel like it's going to be one of those Tampa Bay games where it's going to be scoring. and mm-hmm. it's very ugly, and but it's going to be very close, and it's going to come.
Yeah,
that's 3 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this game could go either way too. Just
favorite Tampa, considering that's how they've won all their games, is no scoring and ugly, but Tom Brady saving them in the last drive of the game. Yeah.
This game could definitely go all the way, and I can't believe I'm saying this as a Dolphins fan, but I guess I'm a Tom Brady homer now. I don't know. I just think he finds a way. He always does, doesn't he? I don't know.
Oh, he you're right. He does. So, those are my picks. I think we were relatively agreeing on most of them, except that Dallas Tampa Bay game. So we'll see what happens there. So we'll move on to divisional weekend. As you know, I had the Giants advancing, and they would take on Philadelphia. This is honestly where the Giants hit their ceiling. It's a personnel mismatch. I don't really have any more thoughts of that, except this could be like very ugly for the Giants quickly.
Yeah, I think Philly, no matter who they play, if for you it's the Giants, for me it'd be Tampa Bay. I think Philly and that city, they're gonna be ready to play this first game. They'll have dreams and nightmares up and ready. They'll be fired up, and there's no way that they don't come out strong in their first playoff appearance. And I think no matter who they play, Philly hands them pretty easily.
The second game would be Kansas City and the Chargers. Kansas City, I mean, here's the thing with this matchup is they've been in close games. Their last four matchups have all been decided by one score. I feel like the Chargers with their defense can give up a lot of yards. I mean, they gave up like 300s to Denver or something like that in the last regular season game. They gave a buttload of yards. I know they took some of the starters out, or some of them were out due to injury, but he was playing most of their starters, and they couldn't seem to stop Denver. I don't know. I have Kansas City winning this one. What do you think of this?
Yeah, Chiefs and Chargers always play each other tough. It's a division game. It's going to be a tough game, but I think you just roll with Mahomes. I think you roll with Mahomes, and I think you win that one.
I have Cincinnati upsetting Buffalo here. I felt if that game would have been completed on Monday, I felt like Cincinnati would have won. Part of that could be they had home field advantage, but I just think they're a better football team than Buffalo. Buffalo is the team that has that knockout punch, but you know, once they're up against it, I feel like they don't know. I feel like they can't respond as well as maybe if Cincinnati was up against it. They're a team that abandons the run game, which I think hurts Josh Allen more, especially in the postseason, considering all the punishment he takes when he drops back to throw, and also when he takes off and runs, because he's a very physical runner, which could jeopardize his career in the future. But I feel like Cincinnati is a better team than Buffalo.
I like that pick. I like that pick for sure. And this game, if this matchup does happen, I think it would be the highlight of the playoffs for me. I think these are two teams that match up incredibly well. And I would lean Buffalo. I really think the last thing the league wanted to see was Buffalo motivated for any extra reason. And I think with Damar Hamlin against this Bengals team, or where the whole incident happened, I think that Buffalo comes out with maybe a little extra fire in this game. Not to say that since he won't be up and ready to play, because I think they will, and I think this game will have a lot of fireworks. But I think Buffalo I know their defense maybe isn't this juggernaut we all thought they were, but I do think it's a better defense than Cincinnati. So I would lean towards Buffalo on this one.
This game, regardless whether it's my pick Dallas playing in this game or if it's Tampa, I think San Francisco wins this. I think we foreshadowed it in the beginning. I think their front seven is just an absolute buzzsaw, which helps out their physical corners on the outside. I really like Ufanga, their safety. I have San Francisco winning this. Moving on to the conference title game, face Philly.
Yeah, I think their defense is going to be too much for any of these offenses that we see, especially one that turns the ball over like Dallas does. You mentioned Hufanga, and I think Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, and Nick Bosa is probably the best defensive player in the NFL at this point in his career, and I think they're really the only team in the NFL that has four real elite pass rushers. Like, they get after the quarterback, and I think they do it better than any other team in the NFL, and I think that we'll see that affect every quarterback that they play.
Yeah, I agree. So let's quickly move on to the conference title games. Cincinnati and Kansas City. This, honestly, I don't know what to pick here, so I'm going to start with you on this one.
Well, since I had Buffalo moving this far, I actually have Buffalo going to the Super Bowl. I mentioned a lot. I just think that an extra motivated Bills team in the playoffs is not something anyone wants to see. Josh Allen will have another year of playoff experience under his belt. I think that the mistakes that Josh Allen has been making these past few weeks, late in games, I think he'll be able to really tone those down, focus in, and deliver a strong game against Kansas City. So for me personally, this game would be Buffalo, Kansas City, and I'd have Buffalo moving on.
I could honestly see that. If Buffalo moves on to play Kansas City, based on my matchup, it's hard for me to say that Andy Reid in Kansas City would lose to Cincinnati a third straight time. So based on this matchup, I would take Kansas City.
I would as well. Yeah, I think you made a great point that Andy Reid's not losing to a team three times in a row.
San Francisco and Philadelphia. I'm going to have to take San Francisco. And here's why. In the postseason, in clutch time, who would you rather have as your coach making decisions, Kyle Shanahan or Nick Sirianni? And I know Nick Sirianni has done a heck of a job with this Eagles roster, and I know Jalen Hurts has played out of his mind, but in terms of complete roster, offense and defense, personnel-wise, not considering the quarterback, San Francisco, I feel like, has a better roster. And Jalen Hurts facing that defense could be a bit of a challenge.
You know, I'm proud of us, Jacob. We actually picked both of our division rivals to make it to the Super Bowl. I wasn't sure if we were going to do it, but we did it. And, yeah, I agree with you with San Francisco. Look, I think that defense wins championships when the offense on the other side of the field can move the ball. And when you have the playmakers that they have in Debo and Kittle and Ayuk, CMC, they've got enough where the defense is going to force some turnovers. They're going to get after the quarterback, and they're going to make Philly pay. And I think San Francisco, that Purdy kid's pretty good, dude. So I think that he can do enough with his playmakers that he has to lead San Francisco on the road to a Super Bowl.
All right, so then we'll just real quick dive right into it. So you had Buffalo and San Francisco. I had Kansas City and San Francisco, rematch of Super Bowl 54. But let's start with your matchup, Buffalo, San Francisco. Who wins that?
I'm riding all the way with Purdy, baby. I'm riding all the way.
All right.
The kid is pretty good. Yeah, I'm going to take San Francisco again. I think it comes down to defense. I think this would be a phenomenal matchup, Buffalo and San Francisco. But I just think in the end, four elite pass rushers, elite players in the secondary, a defensive leader like Fred Warner to to bring that all together and the playmakers they have on offense. I think that Brock Purdy's done a phenomenal job of handling the pressure of this situation that he's had been thrusted into. I think he's done a phenomenal job of handling the pressure up to this point. I think he'll continue to do so. I don't think the moment will be too big for him. And I think he leads San Francisco to a title.
Oh, I agree with both of our matchups, regardless if it was San Francisco playing Buffalo, because I think Buffalo has some deficiencies in their game, or if it was Kansas City, I feel like their defense would be a bit of a liability against that offense, and not considering Mahomes playing that defense again. Travis Pollock, we are out of time, but it was great talking with you and all of your playoff predictions. Thank you so much, my man, for stopping by.
It was a pleasure, man. Lots of fun, and I hope to see you down here at the Cronkite School of Journalism real soon.
Hopefully. Man. All right.
All right, dude.
Ladies and gentlemen, that will do it for today. Thank you so much. Catch episode 3. It's coming soon. Share this podcast with any friends or family members that you know that might like this podcast, and just share it. And thank you guys for tuning in, and catch you next time.